Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
What was your worst consensual intimate experience that had you questioning your entire life afterward? Story 1. I was at a bar with some friends when the bartender, who looks just like a slightly chubbier Jason Segel, catches my eye. He's actually one of my top three celebrity crushes. We hit it off right away. He's smart, charming, and super sweet. He even grabs me a few drinks on the house, and we end up spending 2 to 3 hours just drinking and smoking out on the patio. Eventually, he invites me back to his place. I'd never done anything like this before, and I wasn't planning on being intimate. I was 18, sneaking drinks with a fake ID, and I had pretty strong morals about not sleeping with someone unless we were actually dating. But I was okay with going as far as first to third base. We head up to his apartment, and the moment I step inside, I'm met by a fierce dog. I don't know the breed, but I've never been scared of a dog, until this one. It's foaming at the mouth, shaking, and barking aggressively. Jason, let's call him that for the story, grabs the dog by the ears and drags him out to the balcony to settle him down. I just stand there, frozen, completely silent and unsure of what to say. As soon as I stepped into his apartment, a heavy mix of dog poo, urine, and cigarette smoke hit my nose and made me gag. Thankfully, once we got into his bedroom, the stench faded away. He lit a candle, turned on a fan, and we got comfortable. He laid me down, kissed me softly, then without hesitation, he went straight for my honeypot. Jason had absolutely no clue how to do it, and it was seriously uncomfortable. I asked him to stop and offered to give him an HJ or BJ instead, but he wanted to bang. I said no. He lay back, and I started giving him a blowy, but after 5 to 10 minutes, he was still not up. He apologized, blaming it on having one too many drinks, classic whiskey dong. Then he suggested trying to go for my honeypot again, and I agreed. He asked if I liked it, and I lied. Sure, yeah, it's okay. It wasn't as bad as the first time. Then he asked if I wanted him to use a fake dong on me. I said no, but he jumped up anyway and pulled out a box full of toys and this tiny little anime doll. Then he pulled out a pink fake dong. It was losing its color, turning brownish, and honestly looked like it hadn't been cleaned properly. I freaked out and said, "Oh no, thank you." He dropped it and went back to honey pot. But I was in pain. I told him to stop, looked down, and saw it was completely swollen, like 3 times its normal size, like a huge red tumor. It was beet red, and I ran to the bathroom. The shower curtain was pulled back, revealing 2 pocket toys inside. The walls were plastered with anime posters everywhere. The shower, toilet, and bathtub were all stained a nasty brown, filthy beyond belief. The trash can was overflowing with used tissues, and cat litter was scattered all over the floor. This was the epitome of a neckbeard lair bathroom. Terrified, I retreated to the bedroom, threw my clothes back on, and barely managed to say, "Have a good night." Then I left, called an Uber, and went straight home, where I ended up lying in bed with an ice pack. I can't watch How I Met Your Mother anymore. Before we continue, do us a quick favor, smash that like button and subscribe to support our channel. Story 2. My boyfriend and I had this one particularly bad night about 3 months into our relationship. We had both been in kind of foul moods all day, so we decided to do the OL get plastered and bang like rabbits routine to de-stress. Usually it works out fine, but that night was a total disaster, and was also almost entirely my fault. First, I whacked him in the face with my elbow while taking my shirt off. Then I couldn't get on enough for any level of entry action, stupid alcohol, so I opt to give him a blowy instead. While I'm giving him a blowy, I try to angle my face to look up at him, and in the process harshly nick his glands with one of my incisors. He yelps and pushes me off. I slink off to the bathroom in embarrassment, and also to splash some cold water on my face. I then notice the lube on the bathroom sink and zing. So I grab it, thinking maybe this evening won't be a sham after all. I stumbled out of the bathroom, lube in hand and ready to try again, just in time to see him finish soloing one out. I apparently took too long, and he decided to take matters into his own hands, pun intended. Needless to say, I was very frustrated that night. Story 3. She said, "I can't feel you," and starts crying. I ask her to clarify. She then says, "No, I feel your dong but not the connection between us," then proceeds to break up with me while I still have a stiffy. Story 4. My brother and I, both British, were on holiday in South Carolina, newly single and eager to test the legendary appeal of the English accent on Southern belles. After several nights of everything from light to heavy drinking, dining out, and the occasional bout of frustrated solo activity, not at the same time and certainly not in the same room, I finally met a charming young woman who invited me back to hers at the end of the night. Cue a bit of elbowy, but thoroughly enjoyable, on my part, thanks to her anatomy banging. Afterwards, we settled in to sleep. I wake at the crack of dawn, the time, not her name. It is immediately apparent to me that while everything on my outside is feeling rather good, my insides feel horrendous. The week or so of aforementioned drinking and eating has chosen now to catch up with me. I gently tried to wake her just enough to ask where the bathroom is, hoping she'll mumble a direction and drift right back to sleep. Naturally, that's not what happens. She springs fully awake, smiling, cuddling, and making it very clear she's keen for the British invasion. Round 2. Now, in most cases, I'd be flattered and very much on board. But I'm in such gastrointestinal distress that I'm literally sweating. Cold, clammy, oh God please no kind of sweating. If I don't make a move soon, the situation is going to take control. My stomach and bowels are staging a mutiny, and it's no longer a matter of if, but when and where. I manage to get out of her that the bathroom is, of course, right next door to her room. I march right in there, taking only my phone. I don't really know why I grabbed it, but I did. As I'm lowering myself onto the seat, it occurs to me that what is about to happen will almost certainly be voluminous in every sense. The fact that her head is just the other side of a comically thin partition wall means that there is not a chance in hell that she won't hear my doings. Which of course I don't want, not just because I don't want to spoil my chances of round 2, but also out of a bizarre duty of politeness. I don't really know why that should be. We're about as well acquainted as is possible by this point, but there you go. I panic for a second, and then it hits me, my phone. I have plenty of music on there. I'll just play something over the speaker, as if it's something I always do when taking my morning waz. Why not? I might do, she doesn't know. Perhaps it's some quirky British custom. My choice of song is, with hindsight, interesting and apt. If I Should Fall from Grace with God by the Pogues. I start off the merry little shanty and gently, ever so gently, begin to relax my bowel. This is more of an effort than may be obvious. I was really in a lot of discomfort by this point, and it really wanted to make a rapid exit. I realize that, hey, it's working. The music is covering my horrible poo. I brace myself and go for the full push in an effort to rid myself of the mush terrorizing my tummy. And then it's gone. The music. It stopped. No more pogues. Just the vile and thunderous gargling of my arse gravy as it splatters and re-splatters its way into the pan. It is loud. Very loud, and very disgusting. Worse than any comedy diarrhea sound I've heard in a film. Think Harry and Dumber but tenfold. I look imploringly at my phone. And it's dead. The battery has gone, and it lays there lifeless. No screen. No music. No place to hide. My bum still continues for, I would say, a solid 40 seconds or so. I clean myself up and walk back into the room. She was sat up in bed, covers pulled up to her face, like we're in a horror movie, and I just walked into the room with a meat cleaver. I'm ex-military, and I still maintain that hers is the face closest to true terror that I've ever seen. I realize that there are no words. I gather my clothes, take them into the hallway and dress. I am about to leave when I am struck by an urge. I walk back into her room, where she is still sat in the same position. I walk briskly up to her, take her hand, raise it to my lips and kiss it, then turn and smartly walk out of the room and out of the front door. I genuinely have no idea why I did the last bit, but it's the one part of the whole sordid affair that, rightly or wrongly, I am proud of. Story 5. My first blowy is definitely one of my worst memories. I was dating this girl for about 10 months, and she had this weird habit of touching me in public just to mess with me. It always stressed me out. Looking back, I think it was some sort of public fantasy thing, but I didn't realize that at the time. Anyway, moving on. One day I was at her place, which was a pretty standard 3-bedroom house with a basement that had a 4th bedroom and a den. The basement bedroom was supposed to be a guest room, but honestly, it looked more like a dungeon for keeping a slave. It was dirty, dimly lit, and cluttered with trash. Just a bed frame, box spring, and mattress shoved into a dark, depressing little room. As soon as we got down there, she started immediately went to work. It felt okay, but the room totally creeped me out. She was making quiet noises to keep me going since her parents were upstairs, and the stairs were right across from the bedroom door. My back was to the door, so I kept glancing over my shoulder every few seconds. Eventually, I got a bit more into it and stopped checking behind me for about 10 minutes. After she was done and cleaned up, she got up to hug me, and that's when I heard, "Oh my frigging God," right in my ear. I turned around, still half bare, and saw her parents standing there, staring at us. And like the absolute moron I was, I asked how long they'd been there. They said the whole time, then kicked me out like trash. I ended up lying in the dirt on the lawn for a few minutes, just thinking about my life. Dong still out the entire time. Story 6. I had a girl once whose honeypot literally smelled like heavily concentrated ammonia. Not even trying to be funny for the sake of Reddit, but seriously, it was actual sinus clearing ammonia. I don't know if that's some sort of medical condition or what, but she seemed completely unaware that it smelled like that. The second she took her dress off, my eyes literally started to water, and my nose started burning, and I'm not joking. Story 7. One particular moment that stands out was during a hookup, where she taking the lead. Things were heating up, so I gave her a firm smack on the back, and she clearly liked it. Encouraged, I went in for a second one, this time a little harder. That's when she let out a breathy harder, and I took it as a green light to go all in. I wound up for a full swing, aiming for maximum impact, except I completely missed it. Instead of hitting her, I smacked myself square in the balls with a force so brutal it nearly sent me into another dimension. I immediately rolled onto the floor in the fetal position, just whimpering when I hear a faint. "Are you done then?" Ah, good times. Story 8. One time my FWB cut off the tip of his finger while cutting vegetables and apparently lost a lot of blood. He went to the hospital, and they wrapped it up and sent him home. I was concerned, so I went to his place to make sure he was okay, and ended up just watching Netflix and spending the night. So, the next morning we were feeling a little frisky, so we fooled around and started doing it. I took charge, and we having lots of fun when he started to say something along the lines of, "Oh no." So, I looked down at his face, and his eyes start to roll into the back of his head. I promptly hopped off and asked him if he was okay. Apparently, it was too soon for us to bang. Since he lost so much blood the day before, when all the blood rushed to his dong, he nearly passed out. I was pretty scared to say the least, and prepared to call 911 if he actually did become unconscious. He ended up being fine and didn't actually pass out, but it definitely was pretty scary. Story 9. I hooked up with an acquaintance, a mutual friend of a friend. We kind of knew each other from parties and hanging out. One night, we bumped into each other at a bar, both a little tipsy and definitely feeling frisky. She admitted she'd had a crush on me for a while, and since my self-esteem was pretty low back then, I instantly fell for her. We ended up at her place, had a few more drinks, smoked, and started fooling around. She seemed pretty open-minded and adventurous, or at least that's what I thought. She popped a plug in the back door and demanded Scooby-Doo style. I happily complied and started going to town. She said to warn her when I'm about to reach the finish line, and me not wanting to disappoint the love of my, then momentarily, life, I agreed. So, I blurted out that I'm about to be there. She pushed forward, ripped out the plug, and did number 2 all over me in her bed. At this point I realized her sheets were a bit plasticky, and she was really into this stuff. Anyway, I vomited, which really got her upset and offended, 'cause you know it's gross. I was apologizing profusely whilst showering, and dry wrenching all at once. We agreed not to discuss this ever again, and we kept our word for over 15 years. Story 10. I had a girlfriend who, as soon as we started, would groan out things like "no" and "stop." Naturally, I'd stop. But then she'd get belligerent, yelling, "Why'd you stop?" I'd say, "Because you told me to stop." "No, I didn't." So, we'd have to restart everything because the mood was completely killed. On top of that, I was always the one doing all the foreplay. Then, as soon as we got back to it, she'd start crying out "stop," "don't," and "no" again. I'd stop, and we'd end up fighting because she insisted she wasn't actually saying she wanted me to stop. We tried one more time. This time, she told me not to stop no matter what. So, we went started again and finally got to the main event. But then she started crying out for me to stop. Remembering her earlier instructions, I kept going despite the protests. Suddenly, she balled her fist, hit me in the side of the head, shoved me to the floor while I was dazed, screamed at me to go F myself, and stormed out. The next day, she acted like nothing had happened. Story 11. My girlfriend and I had just gotten back together after a brief breakup. My parents were throwing a party, so we showed up early to help set up. While we were in the kitchen prepping food, she took on the task of stuffing jalapenos, lots of them. We ate, drank, enjoyed the night, and everything was good. On the drive back to my place, she decided to be extra sweet and, well, offer a little roadside redemption for the breakup. A minute or two in, things started heating up, but not in the sexy way. My dong suddenly felt like it was on fire. Turns out, she hadn't washed her hands after handling all those jalapenos, and yeah, capsaicin and dong don't mix. She got it in her mouth, I got it everywhere, and we were still 20 agonizing minutes from home. I barely made it. The second we got in, I bolted to the shower and spent 10 straight minutes furiously scrubbing my flaming dong. It was awful at the time, but looking back, it's pretty funny. Story 12. Back in college, there was this girl I had a major crush on. The catch. She was in a relationship, one that clearly wasn't going well. For the last few weeks of it, she'd started showing me some pretty obvious affection, but I kept things platonic. I didn't want to cross any lines while she was still technically taken. Fast forward to 5 days after her breakup. We're both a few drinks in, hanging out with friends on our university residential floor. That's when everything shifted. After deciding to leave the party early, she practically dragged me back to my room. The second we were through the door, she tore my shirt open in this burst of aggression, which, to be honest, I was totally down for. We started making out, things escalated fast, and she dropped down, going all in despite the very obvious challenge of whiskey dong. Up until then, it was wild but fun, until she took the lead, even though I was trying to explain it wasn't going to work. She ignored it, kept kissing me, and started dragging her nails down my back while doing her thing. Whether it was drunken passion or a little too much intensity, she suddenly bit straight through my bottom lip, the scratches down my back, deep enough that they left scars that I still have to this day, 3 years later. Naturally, after all that chaos, there was no chance of picking things back up. I was too busy trying to stop the bleeding without making her feel worse. She started to feel nauseous and ended up missing the trash can, throwing up all over my floor and bed. Right on cue, her friends showed up banging on my door to check on her. They walked in to see her mid-vomit and immediately demanded I leave her alone, insisting she was too drunk to consent. I tried to explain that she had initiated everything, all while bleeding on my shirt and still trying to process what just happened. In their own drunken state, they apparently jumped to the worst conclusion about where the blood came from, if only for a moment, which made everything even more confusing. I let them in to get her, and she started crying about her ex between rounds of puking. By the time the door shut behind them, I was standing there, bloodied, reeking of vomit, confused, in pain, and wondering what the hell just happened. It wasn't until the next day when she explained the whole situation to her friends that I got any kind of apology for the yelling and accusations. Lesson learned, pent-up frustration and unresolved relationship trauma mixed with heavy drinking is not a winning combo. My takeaway gags when I retell the story. You want to know how I got these scars? Story 13. This girl and I were making out in a bar when out of nowhere, she told me she wanted to give me a blowy. It's not usually something I'd go for, but after a long dry spell following a rough breakup, my drunk and clueless self just went along with it. We found a dark corner table, and she got right down to business. She clearly had some experience, and with my recent lack of practice, things escalated pretty quickly. Suddenly, she paused to ask me something, but I had already hit the point of no return. I tried to hold it in, but before I knew it, I was geysering all over. She just stared at me, completely dumbfounded. Then I looked up and noticed three German guys frozen in the doorway. The moment our eyes met, they burst out laughing, gasping for air and joking with each other in German. Honestly, I still can't believe I survived the embarrassment of that night, sitting there in my smoothie-soaked jeans. Story 14. My first and last threescore. My first mistake was that nobody was really a stranger. In case you haven't heard, the third person is always supposed to be a stranger. Back when I was a junior at a super conservative university, there was this freshman, let's call him Sam, who was very openly gay and very obviously into me. Like, thirst levels were off the charts. I wasn't in a relationship at the time, but I wasn't exactly interested either. Our campus wasn't exactly overflowing with queer folks, and the rumor mill was relentless. I was already rooming with the only other openly gay guy I knew, Mason. We had a triple suite setup, with an empty middle room that we jokingly dubbed the Bang and Video Games room. Mason and I had this low-key, no-strings-attached friends-with-benefits situation going on. The idea was simple: relieve some of the tension, keep things safe, and avoid the risks of hooking up with randoms in an environment that wasn't exactly LGBTQ+ friendly. Sam had dropped by a few times before under flimsy excuses, clearly trying to shoot his shot, but I'd always made it clear I wasn't interested. That changed one night after I'd been out partying and got a little too drunk. In a moment of lowered inhibitions, I sent him a classic, "You up?" kind of message that left little room for misinterpretation. He showed up almost immediately, and we started making out in the designated fun room. Things escalated quickly, and we were off. A few minutes in, I heard Mason come back into the suite. I called out casually that Sam was over and that we were, well, in the middle of things. Then, in my very intoxicated and overconfident state, I turned to Sam and half-jokingly asked if he'd be cool with Mason joining us. He gave a sort of uncertain shrug. Not quite a yes, not quite a no. Drunk me interpreted that as green light enough and called out, "Hey Mason, wanna join?" Man, this threescore was all kinds of strange. We kept fumbling through different setups, but nothing really flowed. Meanwhile, I'm over here trying to micromanage the whole thing like it's a team-building exercise. I kept checking in. "Is this okay? Are you good?" Trying to make sure everyone felt comfortable, but it totally killed the vibe. It felt more like a group project than a groupie. Eventually, we settled into something semi-functional. Lights off, I'm doing it with Sam, and Mason. Well, honestly, I have no idea what Mason was doing at that point. Then Sam has this intense O, like whole body shuddering intense, and immediately sprints off to the bathroom without saying a word. I was not a fan of keeping the lights off, especially now. So I asked Mason to flip them on. And that's when I saw it. It was everywhere. Smears on the sheets, smudges on the floor, an absolute crime scene. And listen, I've been around the block when it comes to gay banging, but nothing in my life had prepared me for this. I couldn't understand how Sam didn't realize what was happening. Meanwhile, I'm frozen, and Mason, bless him, talks me down from the mental cliff I was dangling off. I pulled myself together enough to start quietly cleaning up the mess, trying not to make Sam feel worse than he probably already did. Somewhere in the middle of scrubbing, I developed a pounding headache, maybe from dehydration, maybe from the trauma, maybe from inhaling emotional damage. Who knows? When Sam finally emerged from the bathroom, I gently mentioned what happened, told him it was cool for him to crash in my bed, and suggested we maybe wash up first. Somehow, don't ask me how, my dong was still half up, and he was still down to go. So, we hopped in the shower, and he tried to keep the party alive. The shower lasted, no joke, an hour and a half. I had the worst headache of my life, and was nowhere near close to the end. Afterward, I drank water hoping it would help, but all it did was make me feel more grossed out, more exhausted, and still weirdly charged. Sam kept trying to rev things back up, but it just wasn't happening. Eventually, I called it. Time of death. For 12 a.m. rolled over, went to sleep, and left the rest for morning me to emotionally unpack. Story 15. Back when I lived in this college apartment complex, parties were basically a rotating obligation. Each unit took turns hosting, but the crowd was always the same. My apartment was one of the regular party spots, and there was this one guy who was always around. Total jerk. We couldn't stand each other, and bickered constantly. Cut to one night, the day after my boyfriend dumped me. I got absolutely smashed and started shamelessly flirting with everyone, including said jerk. For some reason, we ended up being beer pong partners. Chaotic energy, I know, and somehow, I was all over him by the end of the game. After we lost, we bailed and went back to his place, where we proceeded to have the worst bang of my life. I'm talking so bad I literally stopped mid-act, got up and said, "Yeah, this isn't working for me, I gotta go," and started getting dressed. Right as I'm leaving, he looks at me and goes, "By the way, I have AIDS." Deadpan, no emotion. Just dropped it like a mic. I knew he was just being an a-hole, so I didn't let it get to me. I just said, "Good thing I saw you put a rubber on." He smirks and replies, "Took it off right before we started." So, I looked him dead in the eye and said, "Welp, guess I'm dying a slow, painful death then," and walked out. Honestly, it was probably the most dramatic exit I've ever made. Wouldn't change a thing. For your information, I don't have AIDS. I've been tested several times. Story 16. I met him in a bar. He was kind of chubby and cute and friendly. I had just been screwed over by an a-hole, so I was feeling pretty low. So a nice guy seemed like what I needed. I was about 28, he was in his 30s. We chatted for a bit and got steadily drunker and reckless. He ended up ditching his friend.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
And we went back to his hotel room. I thought it would be a fun one-off. Only he was just terrible. Clumsy, awkward, shaking. I still remember the hopeful look on his face as he was doing his thing. During the lead-up, I was rapidly losing any excitement I had, plus realizing I wasn't as attracted to his bare body as I had hoped. He was so sweet, I didn't have the heart to tell him it wasn't doing it for me. Also, expressing needs was a problem of mine. That's another story. I encouraged PIV thinking at least that would be okay. But I was wrong. I had wanted a standard shag, but this was soft, slow but awkward, making love, and he kept catching my eye and smiling like it was our wedding day. Something about it felt really weird. Afterwards, he told me that 1, I was his first, 2, he was a lifelong Christian having doubts, hence the virginity. 3, I had come along at the right time. He always knew there was something better than religion. I felt even worse as he thought intimacy between us marked the start of something special that night, whereas I had just been out to get laid. I stayed the night and swapped numbers, trying to convince myself he was too nice to not give it a chance. But after one more date, I realized that I couldn't even bring myself to kiss him and had to end it. This whole episode makes me cringe, for my own behavior as much as the memory of the banging session. Story 17. I'm originally from Latvia and also speak Russian. After moving to the UK, I went on a few dates with an English girl. She really liked that I could speak Russian, though at the time, I didn't realize it was actually a bit of a thing for her. One night, we were in bed, both a little drunk, and things started getting steamy. Out of nowhere, she moaned, "Oh yeah, talk to me in Russian." I didn't really want to do it and said no, but she kept begging for it, more and more. Eventually, it got to the point where I sort of wasn't into it all. So, figuring I'd just say something, while I was doing it from the back, I told her about my trip to Aldi buying milk and eggs and stuff in Russian. Story 18. She broke my rib. We were in the middle of things, she was taking the lead. And while trying to reposition herself, she pressed down on my chest, right where my floating ribs are. I'd had a couple of drinks, so I didn't feel the pain immediately, but I definitely heard the crack. The next day, and the weeks that followed, were anything but fun. Still, she was worth it. Story 19. It was a drunk hookup. She was taking the lead, and I was dying of dry mouth, like desperately needed a drink of water. I grabbed her hips and, in my best drunken mumble, managed to say, "Water." Apparently, she took that as a cue to go faster and harder, and slowly pour the full glass of water from my bedside table all over me. We're still friends. To this day, she has no idea why she thought that was the move. Story 20. It wasn't just a one-time thing. It went on for the last couple of years we were together. My ex wanted to do it every single day. That part was fine, but he had this preference for me being completely dry before he starting. He said it felt better that way. And like an idiot, I went along with it. So we'd do it every night, and afterward, I'd sneak off to the bathroom, holding a cold washcloth against the burning pain between my legs, crying quietly so he wouldn't hear. Story 21. Before we hooked up, the guy told me I was going to be the first girl he actually remembered sleeping with. Apparently, he'd been blackout drunk the first time it happened. He offered me a beer beforehand, which I agreed to, only for him to hand me a half-drunk, already open one that had clearly been sitting out for a while. Great start. Then came the actual banging part. I had to show him how to put on a rubber. He reached for hand lotion as lube, and I had to politely explain why that was not a good idea. The banging itself was awkward, just stiff, clumsy thrusting, and I found myself just waiting for it to be over. And when it finally ended, he looked at me, did a Borat impression. Very nice. And high-fived me. Story 22. I was dating this girl at university here in Ireland for a few weeks when she went on a family holiday to Disney World in Florida. When she got back, she texted saying she'd brought me some gifts and couldn't wait to see me. That night, she came over, we had a few drinks, and at some point, she reached into her handbag and pulled out a little plastic Disney gift bag. Inside, some candy, a Toy Story pen, and a fridge magnet. Bit underwhelming, I won't lie. Later that night, we're in bed, things are getting heated, and then she suddenly hops out, goes to her bag again, and says, "I almost forgot your real present," in this sultry, excited tone. Now, the lights are off at this point, so I can't see what she's doing, but I feel her hands on my shoulders and some kind of fabric being tied around my neck. I switch on the light, look in the mirror, and she's tied a bright red bandana around my neck like I'm about to rob a train in the Wild West. She gives me this slow, seductive look, calls me Woody, and starts talking in a full-on American cowboy accent. I have never been so bewildered or embarrassed in my life. But she was fully into it, telling me I reminded her of Disney Pixar's lovable cowboy, and that it had been a long-time fantasy of hers. And yes, we went along with it. Story 23. I was really drunk, waiting in line for the bathroom at a frat house. When it was finally my turn, the girl behind me suddenly pushed me inside, shut the door, and before I could react, she pulled my pants down and gave me the most intense, toothy blowy of my life. I quickly said, "No thanks," gently placed my hand on her forehead, and pushed her away. She then sat down on the toilet and started ugly crying. I had no idea what to do. I just really needed to pee, so I awkwardly stood there apologizing until she eventually left. Edit: this happened nearly 20 years ago. While today it would clearly be considered a textbook example of SA, at the time my main concern was my downtown area's skin. I used to be handsome and incredibly naive. Girls usually had to be pretty direct before I even realized they were interested in something intimate. For brevity and privacy, I left out some details, but I did know this girl. She had been flirting with me all night, although I only fully understood that after she started crying. Story 24. This girl and I had broken up, but stayed in touch. One night, she called me out of boredom, and I agreed to come over. It didn't take long before we were both bare. Deep down, we knew exactly what that call meant. We also sensed it might be the last time, so we didn't hold anything back. We went down on each other, tried all our usual positions. It was a little bit of everything, and honestly, it was amazing. The tricky part came the next day. I got up early, heading to work, when I got a text from her saying she'd found a condom still inside her. She was joking about how gross it was, but that's when I realized I hadn't left one in there. That night, I used two condoms, separately, for two different rounds, and I distinctly remember taking both off, tying them up, and throwing them away. She even checked the trash and confirmed both were there. So whatever rubber she found inside her definitely wasn't mine. We were broken up, so it's not a problem there was another guy. But I went to have a taste of her pie, and it was there. Edit: added parentheses and strike through for clarity. I didn't double bag, and I didn't lose mine inside. Story 25. I hooked up with a guy back in college at his parents' house. When we arrived, his parents were already asleep. The guy said we had to be quiet because they would be angry if they woke up. The banging was mediocre, and at the end he made it pretty clear that he wanted to go for round two in the AM. That was a big no from me. So, when he fell asleep, I decided to leave. So, I quietly dressed, snuck through the house, and unlocked and opened the front door, and set off the alarm. Needless to say, his parents woke up, he woke up, the dog was barking, and I just wanted to go home. Then the alarm security guard got there, and also witnessed my walk of shame. Story 26. I had a one-night stand with a friend while I was traveling. I was out that night at a bar with friends. The only reason I ended up sleeping at his house was because the guy hosting me was out, with the only key, and not replying to any of my texts, so I said whatever, and went home with my friend instead. He made a move, and I was horny and hadn't been laid in a while, and we had some chemistry, so I figured why not. At first it felt very nice to lie there in his arms as he gently stroked my back and hair. I was pretty charged, and it seemed like it would be a promising lay. But things went quickly downhill. He was overweight, and not quite as nice looking, when he was bare as he was in his clothes. More importantly, he could not be bothered to do anything I requested. All he cared about was getting his dong in my honeypot. I asked him to go more slowly, more gently. It might as well have been like talking to the deaf. He was way too rough with his hands, dong, everything. I kept going with it and didn't ask him to stop because I was already bare and wanted it to be just done. In his defense, he also asked me a couple of times if I still wanted to continue when he noticed I wasn't so into it. But it was a lost cause. At one point, I lay there like a fish waiting for it to end as he pounded me. Then finally when he was done, I asked him if I could just solo myself for a bit. As we are lying there spooning and I'm trying to solo, he ends up like banging me somewhere between my back and armpit. No idea what he did or how he actually did that really. I was so turned off by the entire experience that I didn't bother trying to finish anymore at that point. Luckily, I had a train out of town to catch very early the next morning, and our thing lasted until the wee hours, so I had a convenient escape and I bolted the heck out of there. Story 27. I was on a second date with this guy I met on OkCupid. It was one of my first real forays into dating after ending a 9-year relationship, and I was still pretty inexperienced. He was a decent guy, but we didn't have much in common, and I think we both realized that. To fill the awkward gaps, we had a few too many drinks. One thing led to another. He ended up back at my place, and clothes came off. I don't remember much about how it all started, but what I do remember, very vividly, is the moment he started sobbing mid-action, wailing about his Catholic guilt. I was drunk, confused, and trying to be kind, so I just gave his back a few awkward pats before gently pushing him off me. We got dressed in silence. Then he asked if he could stay the night and just cuddle. I politely declined, and he rode off on his bike. I deleted OkCupid after that. Story 28. Back in high school, there was this guy I used to see in the halls all the time. We never actually spoke, but I definitely flirted from a distance. He had a longtime girlfriend, and everyone just kind of assumed they'd be together forever. Fast forward to after graduation. I guess they broke up because we ran into each other, ended up talking for the first time, exchanged numbers, and actually went out on a date. There was just something about the date that didn't sit right with me. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I knew I didn't want to see him again. Instead of being upfront, because let's be real, I'm awkward as hell, I figured I'd slowly ease off the communication. The plan was to let things fizzle out naturally, like we just drifted apart. Yeah, I know, not the most mature move, but social finesse has never been my strong suit. I was getting ready to head up to campus for the day, just taking a quick shower and getting my stuff together. He hits me with the classic, "without me?" line, and I reply with something like, "I take quick showers, you're not missing much." His response, "I can make it quick." Next thing I know, he actually shows up. At that point, I'm thinking, well, damn. He drove all the way here just for a quickie. I'd feel like a jerk turning him away. So I go along with it. It lasted, no joke, less than a minute. I felt absolutely nothing. Honestly, I'm not even sure he actually got it in. I think he just did it outside on me, and somehow that did the Story 29. One time, my girlfriend threw up on me during our intimate time. She hadn't been feeling great that day, but she still wanted to be intimate, said she thought she could handle it. Everything was fine at first, but while she was taking charge, she suddenly got queasy and ended up vomiting on my chest. I was so shocked I just kind of froze, trying not to gag myself. She immediately panicked, jumped off, threw on a robe, and ran to the bathroom in total embarrassment. After cleaning myself up, I went to check on her. Physically, she felt a bit better after getting sick, but emotionally, she was mortified. It took some reassurance and patience to help her feel okay again, but I made sure she knew I still loved her, still found her attractive, and that it didn't change how I felt about her at all. It was a messy moment, sure, but love's not always glamorous, and that was just one of those very human times. Story 30. The power went out while my then-girlfriend and I were getting adventurous in bed, securing me to the corners. It was pitch black, right in the middle of a thunderstorm, and the whole place suddenly went dark. She freaked out, tried to get off the bed, but tripped over my leg and accidentally punched me in the chooch as she fell. Hearing the commotion, one of her housemates burst in with a flashlight to check if we were okay. That's how she found out not only that we were sleeping together, but also that I'm a natural redhead. To her credit, she was really sweet about it. She held the flashlight while my girlfriend untied me and even offered to grab me an ice pack once we'd calmed down and explained what had happened. Story 31. I was seeing this guy for a couple months during my sophomore year of college. He was older, pretty hot, and a talented musician, so I had high hopes for the bedroom. Turned out, he was a total weirdo. Not in a fun way, like a Diddy time travel here from the 1920s kind of way. He kept telling me he was old-fashioned, and refused to do anything other than the standard position. He wouldn't let me bend my legs either. He wanted me to lay there motionless like a board, and not make any sound. That was super weird for me. It was the most boring, vanilla, but also confusing bang I've ever had. Otherwise, he was a pretty normal guy. I just don't get what those weird hang-ups were, and why he was so against trying other positions or me participating. There was a lot of sexism tied up in it, but I really didn't care enough to ask for a deeper explanation. When I told him I didn't want to see him anymore, he got really angry and felt like he was essaying me, and I realized how many bullets I would dodge by getting out of that situation. Story 32. She was really attractive and fun, and we had been on a few dates before. We planned a weekend getaway out of town, and I was looking forward to some quality time, and honestly, some hotel room bang. But when it happened, she was totally a starfish, just lying flat on her back, seeming resigned to just getting through it. She didn't really participate or initiate at all, just let me do my thing. That weekend was such a disappointment. We didn't date again after that weekend. I wonder what her perception was. We never talked about it. I didn't feel like trying to tell her that she was a lousy lay. I wonder if, from her perspective, the guy me, got into her pants and ditched her right after. Because that's what I did. I liked her, but I couldn't enjoy intimate time with her. And she was a dead fish for sure. Edit. For clarification, I actually did ask if everything was okay, was she enjoying herself, did she want me to continue, etc. She said that she was enjoying it, to keep going, but her body language was not backing up the words coming out of her mouth. She was cool making out, everything seemed good right up until the main part started. Then she just went passive. Let me do whatever I wanted, but with no response. No physical response, and no sounds of enjoyment. Story 33. I was having a hard time getting a part-time job after high school, and it's one of the requirements of living with my parents, and I wasn't ready by any means to move out. So, I decided to become a sugar baby. I met him at a hotel for $3,000. It was over within 20 minutes, but he basically started as soon as we were both bare and started pounding, while kissing me in a way that meant I had to breathe out of my nose, effectively felt like I was drowning. When I went to the toilet after there was a lot of blood, and I'm fairly sure I was torn inside. At least it lasted me until I could find a job, so there's that. But lesson learned. There's always a reason why somebody has to pay for a worker girl, and it's never really because they're too busy for a relationship. Story 34. My wife and I are each other's first and only, so I don't really have anything too juicy or terrible, since spending a lifetime of love with someone makes the bad times just funny stories. That said, I've got two stories, both from when we were in college just dating and learning about physical intimacy. Story 1 is short and simple. Every man earns his red wings exactly once. Neither of us particularly enjoyed the experience, but we got through it to say we tried it. Story 2 is about our first time fooling around. The first intimate experience of any sort for both of us was when I banged her in the back seat of her car in a dark parking lot near my parents' house, with fingers and all. She loved the experience enough that we engaged in that activity 3 times in a row that night. In spite of my subtle hints, though, I was terrified of being too pushy and scaring her. It never occurred to her to reciprocate. Over the next 3 weeks, I did stuff to her like 5 more times, before finally, in a moment of pure frustration, I just whipped it out and asked if she would mind returning the favor. Years later, we'd been married a few years already. I finally asked her what was up with that. She said that she genuinely just never thought about it. I enjoyed her times, she enjoyed her times, and being totally inexperienced, she just didn't think. Edit. Judging from some of the responses I've gotten, I guess there are multiple definitions of earning the red wings. I meant it specifically as eating at the Y, with a side of ketchup. I'm totally down for it though, but it's still something the wife has zero interest in. Story 35. Possibly my first time having doing it, and I was a wreck. Nervous doesn't even begin to cover it. Not only was it my first time ever, but it was also with a guy. And not just any guy, someone I'd had a massive crush on for ages, who had previously turned me down because he thought he was straight. It started off sweet. Gentle kisses, cuddling, his quiet way of saying, yeah, maybe I'm not as straight as I thought. That alone had my heart doing backflips. Then came the foreplay, which felt amazing. But no matter how hard he tried, I just couldn't reach the end. My dong was up the whole time, but the nerves had me locked up tight. So, I shifted focus and helped him instead, which went great. He tried again to get me there afterward, but still nothing. Eventually, I told him it was okay to stop, and we could just go to sleep. That was the plan, until I woke up to the most intense case of blue balls in the history of blue balls. It hurt to walk, it hurt to think, it definitely hurt to get home. I ended up having to take care of it myself, just to survive the day. Funny thing, that wasn't a one-time experience. Just hanging out with him used to give me pain unless I'd already handled things beforehand. But that night was next level. Like, Olympic champion level ache. Thankfully, over time, I got more comfortable, and eventually we developed a healthy, fun, and non-painful intimate life. Even better, we've been dating for about 2 years now. Story 36. I met a girl on OkCupid who was looking for a casual partner to spend some time. I was interested, and we flirted over text for about a month, but she kept dodging actually meeting up. Finally, I called her out on it, and she admitted she was nervous because she has really intense endings while banging. I told her not to worry, and she agreed to come over that night. We started doing it, and after a few minutes, she got really into it. And suddenly, she started shaking and twitching, then had an intense O, screaming so loud I was genuinely worried the windows might break. Then, just a few seconds later, she went completely limp. I turned on the light, shook her, and called her name, but she didn't respond. At first, I felt like a total rock star, but then reality hit. There was a girl unconscious in my bed, with my fingerprints on her neck. I started to panic, but after about a minute, she suddenly sat up like the Undertaker, gasping for air. She was super embarrassed, but I reassured her it was okay. We cuddled for a bit, and then she left shortly after. Story 37. I did it with this stunning Brazilian woman who was about 10 years older than me. I was super nervous, but as a guy, I knew I had to get this experience under my belt. Things were going great as we got started. I Scooby-Doo styled her and went at it. But when I was done, my heart sank, the rubber had disappeared. We both freaked out, searching through the sheets and on the floor, until we realized it was stuck inside. So, there I was for a solid 10 to 15 minutes, trying to carefully fish this thing out. I tried to be gentle, but damn, that rubber was really lodged in there. After several tries, I finally got a good grip and pulled it out. We both let out the biggest sigh of relief. Then I rushed to the pharmacy for Plan B and some better-fitting rubbers for next time. And yep, even after that whole mess, she still wanted to meet up again. Story 38. So, I'd been hanging with this girl I met on MeetMe. The banging was awesome, and the blowy was even better. Plus, she wasn't one of those awkward types when the weird noises started happening, which made things way more comfortable. We were at her place, and she had this dog who basically refused to get off the bed unless you physically threw him off. And even then, he'd just jump right back up. One night, we were going slow and sensual, everything going great as usual. Then my stomach started to growl a bit. I ignored it, cringing at the slight discomfort but kept going. A few minutes later it happened again. So, I decided to let out the fart that was building up. I figured we'd just laugh it off, she would tighten when she laughed, and honestly, I loved that. But I pushed, and nothing came out. Damn it, fart, just let me release you. I pushed harder. Still nothing. One last try, all while keeping the show going. Then suddenly, I did it. Not a little one either. I explosively sharted all over the bed. And her dog. Well, remember how he refused to leave the bed? He had snuggled between my legs while we were doing our thing, right near my A. So yeah, he got a full shart shower. The shock froze all of us. Well, except the dog. He actually jumped off the bed and ran across her heated hardwood floor, leaving chunks dripping behind him. In the thick silence, as we heard his claws clicking loudly across the floor, she softly whispered, "Fluffy." Story 39. The last time I visited my ex, back then we were still FWB, but only because I flew to his city, he never wanted to spend the money or effort to come see me. We went to a gig, then he came back to my motel afterward. He wasn't really feeling it, couldn't get a stiffy and kept falling out. Eventually, we gave up and went to sleep. The next morning, we tried again, but it hurt like hell for me. No idea why. While shifting positions, I noticed the bed was covered in blood. He got up and went to shower, and I started to panic. It wasn't that time of the month. My meds had stopped that from happening. I was still in a world of pain. Then, while he was in the bathroom, the cleaning staff showed up to make the room. I had nowhere to hide, and they immediately noticed the mess. I apologized profusely. Later, he told me I should have just jumped into the bathroom while he was showering, but honestly, I knew he wouldn't have been impressed with that at the time. I spent the rest of the day with his parents while he ignored me and glued himself to the football game on TV. After dinner, he just gave me a quick pat on the shoulder and said goodbye as I left. I still had one more night in town, but then he sent me a message telling me not to bother coming over, no explanation, even though he knew I had nowhere else to go. That weekend there was a massive storm, roads closed, trees down, and my motel room flooded. There were no other rooms available, so I ended up spending the night alone in a soggy, smelly motel. The next day, I flew home. That was the last time I ever saw him. And since then, I haven't had intimate relations. I'm not even sure if it will ever happen again. That was back in 2011. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, be sure to give it a thumbs up, subscribe, and hit the bell icon.
Offer valid on standard browsers, US only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.